Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati with Stan Weber in studio. Stan, look at the Drake. Does that make you happy to see the Drake? He's always up early, but up early and running the show with a smile on his face, ready to attack this Red Friday. You know,
it's always great to see Drake.
Right.
What a legend.
That's right.
He's been here, I mean, gosh.
How long have you been? 37 years he's been working with Union Broadcasting.
That's because he works one and a half shifts all the time. So we've been stationed for, what, 22 years?
22.
One of the few people that work, he works 16 hours a day. So, you know what? That's kind of. Close.
He's also the one guy that when there's a problem with the transmitter at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, he's there, you know?
Because he's already there at 3 in the morning?
Because he goes out, he goes out. Right. You know, like, Drake was there.
No. Yeah.
This will show my value.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Who else is going to fix this?
Let me pull this fuse.
Wait, Drake, who broke it?
Let the alarms go off. They'll call me, and I'll run out there.
Smart man.
So, Stan, I'll ask you. Tomorrow, we already talked about all the games, all the championship games right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And I'm excited for the idea that we might get some new blood in the college football playoffs. So I'm rooting. I want Cincinnati to make it. I want Oklahoma State to make it. Georgia's going to make it, and they should. But I think that's fun. I'd rather have them as the team to beat it instead of Clemson or Alabama. And so I think and then Michigan.
No Ohio State, no Oklahoma.
That's right. And so that's refreshing, and I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to see what any of these teams can do against that terrific Georgia defense. I want to see these matchups we really haven't seen. What about you? Are you looking forward to these matchups? Do you think that is something that will appeal to the crazy college football fans like we are?
I hope so. The ratings really are starting to spike up. With COVID last year, it was hard to determine what was going on with the games. There wasn't excitement in the arena, and everyone was distracted by real life. So the ratings went down, and they've lagged a little bit, NFL ratings and everything else, but they're popping right now. They're back to Michigan, Ohio State. Last week was one of the most watched games in 10 years. I mean, it exploded. The numbers were outrageously high, the best of the year. So I'm hoping everyone, the Cowboys-Chiefs was off the charts, but it was surpassed by Cowboys-Raiders on Thanksgiving Day. Was the most watched game in regular season since, 1990?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we got some stuff going on, some momentum here in November. So I'm hoping so, but it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Do you have the juice with Baylor versus Oklahoma State? Do people really stop at 11 o'clock in the morning tomorrow with their shopping and everything else, their ball games, and say, it's must watch? We talk about not wanting these teams around, but then sometimes we don't turn on the TV to watch. I'll be very excited about them. This is unusual for me because this is the first time that I can remember that I do not have a K-State basketball game on Saturday.
Oh.
It's a Sunday game. And it's a big game. It's a fun game. For the first time since 2003, K-State's going to play Wichita State. State's good. And they just beat Oklahoma State on the road. And so they
also beat Mizzou, Nate. You didn't mention that.
And the first time they played in Wichita since 2002, they're going to play down there as a Wichita State home game, but do it in an Intrust Arena downtown. So that's going to be pretty cool on Sunday at 5 o'clock, you know, leading right into the Chiefs game at 7:15 or whatever. So
that's,
it's going to work out really well. But I'm just saying, tomorrow I'll really be able to engage in everything that these championship games have. And, wow, that Houston-Cincinnati game takes on a whole different level of interest around the country, because is Cincinnati going to be the first non-power five team, a group of five team, to earn their way into the college football playoff? It looks like they win, they're in, but they got a hard game against Houston. And around here, what's crazy is that's a preview of two Big 12 teams. And Oklahoma State and Baylor don't have Oklahoma and Texas in there. That's four of the teams are future Big 12 teams. Is it going to bring in the viewership? I don't know, but I'm very interested in the games all the way down the stretch. You know, there's going to be a lot of good games.
So we had that conversation yesterday. It just feels like a Houston upset to screw everything up, because we want to see Cincinnati.
It feels a lot
there,
like
right?
That. It sure does.
I want Michigan to beat Iowa. I want Cincinnati to beat Houston. I want Georgia to beat Alabama, because I think the worst thing, at least for me as a viewer, I don't want to see Alabama. If Alabama wins, then Alabama's going to be in, and Georgia's
in automatically.
I don't need to see it. And then we need Oklahoma State to beat Baylor. And Stan, we've seen in our lives the Big 12 championship game cost Kansas State and cost Mizzou a spot in the national title game. So this would not be the craziest upset in the world to see another team lose a spot in the playoffs. It wouldn't be the national championship game, but lose a big spot, lose a big opportunity to win a national championship because of the Big 12 title game. So there's my question. Is that going to happen, or is Oklahoma State going to get this done against Baylor?
26th year of the Big 12 Conference, okay, started in 1996. In that first year, it started right down the path you talked about. Texas beat Nebraska in that first game, and Texas was not an undefeated team. They were just a good team. So here we go. It's been upset city, right? I mean, 2003, K-State finally got their championship. What did they do? They beat Oklahoma, who was thought to be the greatest team ever. This game's going to be super competitive. You know, when you evaluate the games, you can come to an answer that Baylor is every bit as good as Oklahoma State and maybe better. They played in Stillwater earlier this year with Oklahoma State winning that game. But, yeah, it's dead even. The one question about Baylor is what are they going to do at quarterback? I mean, you got a new freshman who started only two games maybe. He came in against K-State and did a good job and then finished off the year. And then you've got Bohannon, who's a new starter, a running quarterback who also can throw, who's been hurt with a calf or hamstring injury. I think a hamstring injury. Is he going to be available? Which way are they going to go on quarterback? So you got to say Oklahoma State's more reliable. But Oklahoma State more than likely wants to play you in a 21-20 ball game. What they did against Oklahoma is pretty crazy. They got going. Sanders at quarterback threw the ball around the yard, and Oklahoma State looked like an old high-scoring team. But I thought that was an aberration. They played out of their mind and played Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's defense is very willing to let you play that kind of game against them. They don't want to hit anybody too hard because they got NFL careers, you know, they think. So the passion at Oklahoma may not quite be there. So Baylor's dangerous, man. All I'm saying is this is almost a toss-up game. I didn't look at the spread yet to see what it was. But
5.5, Oklahoma State's favored by 5.5.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a betting person, I think you bet Baylor because I look at it tilting right around an even game. So we'll see. You know, it'd be good for the Big 12 for Oklahoma State to win. It'd be good for them to get into the championship game, especially a year the Pac-12 doesn't again. It's kind of funny. And the ACC doesn't. You know, those two conferences are out because only four spots for five major conferences, and the Big 12 is acting like they're the weakest conference, and the money's not looking good 5 years from now. We know all that, and it's broken apart. It's not a good situation. No one would look at this, but they play better football than the ACC, and they play better football in the Pac-12 year after year, and they might prove it again. I mean, they've already proven it, but it'd be nice to see Oklahoma State in, some new blood. They've never been into the college football playoff, obviously. No one in the Big 12 has been there except for Oklahoma. So, yeah, I'd love to see Oklahoma State win, but I'm telling you, be nervous. If you're rooting for that, Baylor's legit. And, you know, if I ask 10 people who really are in the know, I'm telling you at least five, let's just say this, I think up to five, and I'd be surprised if it wasn't half of them would say Baylor's defense is better than Oklahoma State's. And that's not the narrative out there, right?
Right. Yeah, everybody talks about OSU's defense.
Todd Lebo rightfully said on College Game Day last week, we were talking, he goes, well, the one unit I know I can rely on is the Oklahoma State defense. They are the one unit in the Big 12 that's just been dominant. But Baylor's got better stars. They have more flash plays. And Dave Aranda, defensive coordinator at LSU, remember when they were maybe the greatest team ever 2 years ago? It seems so long ago. We had Ogeron's gone. Offensive coordinator's gone. Joe Burrow's with Cincinnati. But
Brian Kelly's down there talking with a fake Southern accent at basketball games. Did you guys see that?
I haven't seen that yet.
Did you see? Oh, boy. I can't wait to see that.
He said he's never been there.
Yeah,
that's like going to another country.
Yeah,
I know a lot about Louisiana.
Did you see that? Nate?
I haven't seen. I just saw the pictures of it last night, but I didn't hear it.
Oh, it was great. Like, I can't wait. Oh, where did this guy, when did he start talking like this? Like about half an hour ago.
He's like a northern guy big time. Doesn't he look like a northern guy?
Yeah.
If you just take a picture of him.
Hey, and trust me,
I show him great.
Should he be in Central Michigan?
Happened to be down
should
here
he still
in you.
Central Michigan or Cincinnati?
I'll fake any accent you want for $90 million. Yep. I'm good. Whatever.
Y'all?
We'll get the audio of that, and you got to hear this. It was hilarious.
It is one of us to be down on the bayou.
Yeah, right? Come on, let's go.
So, talking in Louisiana, I'm not. This is just a true analogy. I'm not trying to bash anything. I'm just innocent. It popped in my head, okay? I know
right.
You'd like it, Stephen.
That's right.
Talking in Louisiana is English, But the words and the way the verbs are said and the sentence structure is different than anywhere else that I've heard in the United States. My relatives, educated, gone to college, say sentences that I go, I think I know what you said, but it's almost like listening to someone from Britain. Yet you said, I know what you said, but those are not words I've ever heard before.
Yeah, somebody like from Jamaica.
To Nate talking soccer.
Listen to Ed Orgeron.
When Nate says some of his soccer verbs and stuff, right. He just spins me around. I go, he's so good at it. You should go down and learn how to talk in Louisiana.
Louisiana is an incredible place to go visit, but it is a different place. It is different.
I'm telling you, they use these are educated people talking in professional settings and use.
And it's the kind of place
they put their sentences together so differently. I go, what the heck did you say?
Kind of sounds like the Border Patrol, doesn't it? We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
And this
he's the first guy to say Louisiana State University in 25 years.
Somebody
there's
posted.
No one that says anything but LSU.
Video from him saying the word family last week to how he said last night. It's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Well, play that first part of it again when you get a chance. That's all right. There's one part where he's just you could tell he's really leaning into the southern accent. Man.
I got a buddy from college that I went to school with at KU who lives in New Orleans now, and I went down and visited him actually the week before the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. We had a few of us went down to visit him, so we spent like 4 days down there with him, and he was like, he knew his way around town really well, and he was telling me all about the culture and all that stuff, and I said, so do you feel like you're a New Orleans native type thing now? He goes, oh no, you'll never feel that way. If you aren't from here, you'll never feel like you're from here.
Yeah, my dad's best friend lives down there. And he goes down there twice a year and spends a week or even more, and then he comes back. And then I go, so you're Cajun now or what? He's talking like he lives down there, but.
But he said, everybody that lives there is from there. It's not like a town like Phoenix where everybody's from somewhere else. You know,
I love New Orleans.
New Orleans is great.
The other thing you got to take into account, guys, if you've only visited there. If you go to New Orleans and over to Baton Rouge, where the university is, it's different than here. It's definitely Southern talk. It's nothing. Don't use the word Cajun. Drive an hour away from there south, and then you're going to get the real people of Louisiana. So it's like a pocket of education in New Orleans and at Baton Rouge. Go south, and there's the French influence, the real Cajuns, where you'll meet a person who's lived there generation after generation, and they'll start talking to you. And they'll be talking so fast that it's as if you learn Spanish, but then you're in Mexico now and you're trying to, you thought you knew Spanish until they start speaking it. I mean, they're ripping off these words and the slant, it's so hard to understand what they're saying. So he is still, wait till he goes to a Tiger Club event an hour south of there. And then he's going to learn what they really talk. He's going to have to slow down that family even more, like, family.
What if you've been to New Orleans on a trip, but you don't remember it?
Happens. I mean, that happens to a lot of people.
Someone's named Jake.
Yeah.
Oh, Steven.
Oh no, I'm just waving at the people. Certainly not talking about when the Chiefs played the Saints down there. Nope. Okay, fine. So, but who's your pick? So you said it's going to be a toss up, but who do you think wins? Oklahoma State or Baylor?
I'll give Oklahoma State slight advantage because we wish they were going to win.
Alabama's not going to beat Georgia, are they?
Well, I'm worried about what is Georgia going to play for. They're in. What's the motivation?
Boy, they hate Alabama.
I know, and they could knock them out of the playoff right now. I mean, that's what I'd be saying to coach. Like, this is a playoff game, and we don't want to play them again. But you can't say that. You can't say, oh, we don't want to meet them again. Because if Georgia loses, they're going to play again probably in the college football playoff.
I do think that there is a tremendous hatred, especially, I mean, you think about it, cost them a national championship. How many times
Kirby Smart.
Alabama's ruined Georgia season, and the satisfaction of not only making it to being undefeated, but ending their season. Because, like, you don't want to You don't want to give Alabama any life.
You know what worries me, though, is you think about Tom Brady, for instance, playing Aaron Rodgers last year at Tampa, and you're thinking, okay, Green Bay's the better team. But, man, when it's playoff time, guess what Brady's going to do? Saban scares me that way.
Right.
I mean, like, now it's time for the guys to turn it on.
You don't want to give them life.
What happens if Alabama plays a great game instead of that Auburn game?
Get them out, Georgia!
I'm going to go with Georgia.
That's right.
Let's just stick with the favorite.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Stan Weber in studio on this Red Friday, December 3rd, 2021. And before we move on and talk about the Chiefs and the Broncos coming up on Sunday Night Football, we saw the Cowboys beat the Saints last night. Stan, any thoughts on what we saw on Thursday Night Football last night?
Interception. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Wow. Saints refused to let the Cowboys lose, but it was a big win for Dallas. Dak was mostly on. The receivers are incredible when they're all healthy. Some of the catches you couldn't make up. CeeDee Lamb, like, how did he catch that ball? He wasn't even looking yet, and the ball hit him, and the defender's all over him, and he catches the football in the end zone, the touchdown catch. So the Cowboys' passing game is really good. The running game, not so much. Mike McCarthy, you know, I hate saying this because Tim Grunhardt knows Mike McCarthy, and I've not talked to Tim about this, and I'd love to meet Mike McCarthy. Who wouldn't want to meet an NFL head coach? So I hate to bash him, but I got to call it like it is. You know, he was not there at the ball game. And they could have put a stuffed version of him at the 50-yard line standing there, and it would have been the same effect because he just would have stood there without moving the whole game and made some bad decisions about clock management and those kind of things.
So, I'm thinking about them actually rolling out like a mannequin or just a stuffed
version. Like a Weekend at Bernie's type thing.
Put like a headset on them.
Especially if you put the mask on, because no one wore their mask more tightly and perfectly than him. Like, all the good coaches in the league were yanking him down, yelling at the officials last year, but not him. All he could see was his eyes, and he just stood there, and he holds a big clipboard, or a big offensive play sheet. He folds in half, but he doesn't call the offensive play. So anyway, him not being there had absolutely zero effect on the Dallas Cowboys play, and I knew it. So he might have fell asleep in his hotel. They said he was in a hotel watching a game, and he fell asleep. It'd be just like he was there watching the game.
Wow. What do you really think about him as head coach?
I wish I was so high on him when he accepted a job. I thought this would be good, a real NFL head coach, because someone's got to have experience enough to fight Jerry Jones, because Jerry Jones wants to be the coach, and he infects the whole program because he thinks he knows football. Everyone knows he's making all the decisions, or now maybe his son, Steven, who has some juice as well. But they circumvent the coaching all over the place. So you really have to have someone who knows what they're doing, is convicted in their ways, to fight off Jerry Jones to be able to coach a team. I was high on Mike McCarthy, but his choice as defensive coordinator last year was the worst I've ever seen. Fortunately, they fired him. They got Dan Campbell in there.
Jason Garrett's available now again.
Yeah. Well, gosh, Jason Garrett's a good 8-8 coach. I mean, right. He'll give you that, and he'll clap. Well, he'll clap when bad things happen. He's
in the streets quick, didn't he? Yes. It didn't last very long.
He's a good guy, though. You know, a Princeton man.
Right.
He does good things for charity. He's a nice guy, but he fit in with Jerry because he'd let Jerry, like, run meetings and stuff. Yeah. It's like, whatever, Jerry, you pay me money and call me the Dallas Cowboys head coach. Because I think he would have been a good coach if he was given the reins to do it. Anyway, the Cowboys' clock management and things like that, it's just awful all year long. It's been a big story. So last night when I settled in, my wife said, I'll watch a little bit of football, which she rarely does. And they said, they said the head coach isn't going to be there. I said, it has no effect on this game, I promise you.
It had
no effect.
When I yelled out interception, I had the game on, but I was doing some work on my computer while I had the game on. And in the fourth quarter, it was kind of a game. So I started paying a little closer attention. It's 20-10. And the Saints pick off the Cowboys. And you think, okay. And it looks like they're getting the running game going a little bit. Taysom Hill is one tough son of a gun. He might not be a good quarterback, but he is a tough dude. I mean, he's playing out there with a splint on his finger. His arms just look ravaged by every hit he's taken during the course of the game.
Hurdling defenders.
Yeah, that was...
Ran for over 100 yards last night.
But, yeah, they get the ball back.
Be a great H-back.
Five plays later, he throws a pick. So then I'm like, okay, well, I start going back to work on my computer. And you know, when you're kind of, when you just have a game on out of the corner of your eye and you're doing some other stuff, you only notice when the big plays happen, and then you look up. And I swear, every 3 minutes, it was Joe Buck going, and it's intercepted. I was like, what, they just intercepted? How did they even? I didn't know they didn't have the ball anymore to get it back.
Cowboys
to get
got four interceptions.
Boom, boom,
one
boom.
One of them ended up being a pick six.
Yep. Big guy touchdown.
Oh, that was a great catch.
Yeah, it was.
And then Diggs got another interception. He has more than, he individually has more interceptions this year than, I think, over half the NFL teams. So he snagged one.
They got
Taysom Hill
playmakers,
just kept throwing it to the Cowboys at the end.
Yeah.
But as you guys know, I mean, I should just ask you what you think of the Dallas Cowboys, because the words that will come out of your mouth very objectively and your analysis will meet exactly with what I told you 2 months ago. Whenever, oh, gosh, the Chiefs got to play the Cowboys. Oh, this is going to be really rough. What did I say? Every time, Chiefs will beat the Cowboys. Never wavered. Never thought about it. I know what the Dallas Cowboys are. They've overachieved. They got lucky. They beat the Chargers. I mean, lucky. Out, they beat the Chargers in an overtime. They got lucky and beat the Patriots. Those are two giant wins. If you just look at it as a resume, two giant wins. But anybody who wants to, you know, and this is important, because when we're talking about the Chiefs, they're back. They're good. There's no reason why we shouldn't consider them to be the best team in the National Football League.
That's
they're
right.
on their way to health, and that is good. But temper going back and watching the video over and over again, which you had to do for 2 weeks of the Dallas versus Chiefs game, and acting like, wow, the Chiefs have made it and they're a dominant defense and all those stories, because if you do that, you must go back and watch Denver tear apart Dallas. And if you're about ready to anoint them as the greatest team in the NFL, or the Raiders, did you see the Raiders light them up with 500 yards on Thanksgiving Day? I mean, that's more about the Cowboys than it is the Raiders. So just remember, Chiefs fans, it was fun beating Dallas. It was a very good game. But you heard me say, don't take that as gospel. It's more about the Cowboys. The Cowboys are exceedingly average. They're not tough.
But you know what's crazy, Stan? And I can tell anybody that's listening can hear your frustration as a Cowboys fan with the team, because there are playmakers all over the field, right? Like, Ezekiel Elliott's a really good running back. Pollard might not be an every down guy, but he breaks off that 58-yard touchdown run. There's not many guys in the league that can break that run off. He's a playmaker. You mentioned CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. These guys are playmakers. And then
did you like the angle that the Saints took?
No,
on
that was
long
a poor
run.
Angle. That was a poor angle.
I didn't say anything like that. Like, hey, do you want to score a touchdown?
He eliminated the cutback, though.
I have you on my fantasy team.
He did.
Hey, he didn't cut back, though, did he?
He made a 30-yard run a touchdown. I've never seen anything like it. Like,
he's going to cut back. He's going to cut back. I got it.
But you know what? That in some of that, it's poor play. But at the same time, it's also the respect he's given to a guy that he knows can make him look foolish if he overcommits, because Pollard is that kind of player. Parsons, Diggs, those guys are playmakers, man. Like, there are playmakers on both sides of the ball for Dallas, so you feel like, I mean, 8-4 is not a bad record, but it just seems like they underachieved.
Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper. I also said on this air, because everyone may think that I just want to bash the Cowboys and, you know, play it conservatively, downplay your team. It's not that. You know, it's just that I know them way too well. I said a few weeks ago on this show, the Dallas Cowboys offense is the best in the NFL. It's struggling right now a little bit, but I did think it was the best. That the weapons they have at wide receiver, the play calling's really good. The tight end Schultz, the tight ends are good. You know, the offensive line is completely overrated, but that's just kind of a funny theme that I have on here. You know, Zach Martin is out there, and Tyron Smith is back. Did you see the Cowboys dominate Steven blocking that line and running 8 yards every play? No, they gained zero. The excellence is around on the outside. It's kind of a funny theme. But anyway, Cowboys offense, awesome. Defense got two of the best playmakers.
Yeah.
Parsons is playing as well as any defender in the NFL.
And they're young playmakers,
and Diggs
too.
Diggs snags interceptions like a receiver, because he used to be a receiver, and his brother is Stephon Diggs with the Bills. You know, not a surprise. But yet, they don't play great down after down. They don't do everything right. But this isn't about the Cowboys. The fact is, the AFC West has ramped their game up and beat who you have on your schedule. So, Raiders, good job. You beat the Cowboys. Broncos, good job. You beat the Cowboys, and the Chiefs are back. Division games are fun, and I can't wait for this one. But don't you just have to conclude that Mahomes is on the Chiefs and Andy Reid's playing a division game? Why do I feel so comfortable that
off a bye week?
Because the quarterback, they have a bad quarterback situation in Denver, And it's I think it's a head coaching mismatch as well. And so we talk about head coach and quarterback, huge advantages for the Chiefs in both categories.
Home game.
Yeah.
I mean, I respect Denver. They've done a nice job of improving. You weren't talking about them as a threat 2 months ago, were you?
Nope.
You wouldn't?
Nope.
The hype of this
game.
Not
even a couple of weeks ago,
being
really.
Being flexed to a Sunday night game, whatever you think about that, that would have never happened 2 months ago. The Broncos did not have that respect. They did not look like that type of team. They have a winning record right now. They deserve credit for that.
And after they flexed it, then they beat the Chargers. So it made it look even better. Because
right.
I thought they were going to lose to the Chargers. Now, so you talk about the divisional game and the advantage the Chiefs have. They've won 11 in a row against the Denver Broncos. And so I want to play this clip and just to kind of hear from the Broncos' side of this losing streak and what this game means to them. Here's the safety Justin Simmons from this week talking about Denver's losing streak to the Chiefs.
I mean, from a team standpoint, I guess the right word would be disappointing. You know, obviously I haven't beaten them since I've been here, and that's really the emphasis. And, you know, they got great players, and, you know, they're one of the best offenses in the league. Everyone knows that. But still, I think, you know, knowing the teams that I've had when we've played here, it's disappointing. So, I mean, typically how I operate is I like to be where my feet are. So I don't really like thinking about the past and or even the future. I really just like focusing in on the now and, like, you know, what's at stake right now. But with that being said, you know, at some point it does, you know, piss you off a little bit, and I'm looking forward to Sunday. I mean, from it.
And so that's Justin Simmons, and
I think Denver will bring it. I do think that.
Well, I mean, because you look,
there's a respect level, man.
We know what it was like to be on the other end of this, and I was like comparing it to when, and it's different because the Chiefs had some wins in there at Arrowhead, but you remember when Marty came here. And the Chiefs couldn't win in Denver. And they had a long losing streak in Denver. And it was almost, even though the Chiefs had some good teams in the early 90s, it was almost like, at Denver, that's going to be a loss. Hopefully they can get a split and whatever else. And then Joe Montana changed all that, right? Well, this is different because Denver can't beat the Chiefs any place. It ain't Arrowhead, Mile High, whatever. And so how difficult is that? You hear him. You know, yeah, and he's trying not to, you know, show how much it's bothering you. Can hear it. Yeah, it does kind of piss you off. And he's been there, and he hasn't beat the Chiefs 11 in a row. How difficult is it to get over that mental hurdle that you just can't beat this football team?
I think it's very hard until it gets ridiculous. And I think Denver has a fresh mind right now because, you know, Dalton Reisner's a guy I know very well, starting lineman from K-State.
Great dude, by the way, too.
He was on Sports Radio 810 with Seren Petro in the program. You know, these guys now, there's no embarrassment to just go give it your all and say, we don't care what happens, because we're probably going to lose. I mean, when a streak was 3 or 4 or 5, it gets into your head, because most NFL careers last about 2 or 3 years. So you've infected that whole team. But now that we're at 11, it is so outrageously long. Is any Denver player going to be embarrassed about being .500, walking out Sunday night out of Arrowhead after losing a game to the Chiefs? No, they're going to go, hey, we're going to play them in a couple weeks at home. We still have a chance to make a wild card. Who would have thought Denver would be in this good a situation this late in the year at 6-6 after 12 games? Denver kind of has nothing to lose, everything to gain. So that psychological advantage I don't think is there. The advantages the Chiefs have about beating division foes, having Patrick Mahomes, being great after a week off and being rested, having Andy Reid as a head coach, these things are all in the Chiefs' favor. That's why I think the Chiefs will win the game and are the better team. It's about the Chiefs. But from the Denver perspective, I do think they're dangerous. And let's just talk about that for a second, because something I like to say is, what is the danger factor? Chiefs are better. Play 10 times, I think the Chiefs win 8 or 9 of these games, right? But let's talk about that one, Stephen. Just in case the Chiefs lose, how would it happen? That, to me, is what the danger factor is. What would the Broncos need to do? Let's start with Vic Fangio. Not a great head coach in my mind at all. But as a defensive coordinator, he's very good. And this year he's hit his stride. He really is putting together great defensive plans. Go back and watch a Chargers game. Go back and watch a Cowboys game. The Cowboys were flying high when he played them, and he stuffed the Cowboys. Every decision, he had unique defensive strategies, and his guys are executing it. The Chiefs' offense still isn't hitting on all cylinders. Go back and look at the Cowboys' tape.
Had
control of the game, but what did the second half really look like? The separation between the Cowboys and the Chiefs was tremendous, but it wasn't the offense lighting it up.
No.
So there is still room to slow down the Chiefs' offense, and Denver's defense might be able to do that. On the other side of the coin, you got a guy like Bridgewater and a good running game. I think the best way to beat the Chiefs over the last few years, and even right now, is commit to the run. Baltimore Ravens, didn't they run more than they passed in that game?
Yeah, and even when they were behind, they kept running.
No one does that. Even the Ravens don't do that.
Yeah.
Go back and look at a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Everyone in the NFL wants to throw.
Yeah.
You throw more than you run. Okay, every coordinator. But what happens if you're forced to run because Teddy Bridgewater is not 100% and you're thinking, all we need to do is complete some third down, easy passes, keep the drive alive, and we got 1-2 punch. You got Melvin Gordon, who's really a veteran. That's good to have him as a running back. And then you got a rookie who kind of has that excitement, like Pollard. He's dangerous because he doesn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to run for a touchdown on every play when he gets his chance. Denver's running game and some completions without interceptions, some third down completions, running the clock. The Chiefs' defense still has some warts on it. We've watched the last couple of games, and suddenly everyone just feels so comfortable that the Chiefs' defense is fixed. I keep saying, the pendulum in your mind has swung too far. They weren't the 30th or 32nd best defense, worst, in the league. Remember 2 months ago when I told you they're going to be back? They're going to be fine? But now we have too much confidence. Like, we think
they're not a top five defense either.
Or 10.
Yeah, top 10.
So
probably
what
somewhere in the middle.
If the Chiefs play like 15th to 20th on defense, can't quite stop the running game, Denver runs the clock, and he has a great defensive plan, and one ball bounces against the Chiefs, which has happened. Not Patrick Mahomes' fault always. It could bounce off somebody and be an interception. We've seen that. If you put that whole formula together, I think Denver could be right there in the game. That's their danger factor. But again, I say 80 to 90% chance the Chiefs go win the ball game because they have so many advantages over the Broncos, and they care about division games, and they're good at winning division games.
I feel like a lot – like and yet, of course, there's a scenario that leads to a Broncos victory because they beat a good team like Dallas. I was even more surprised that they beat the Chargers.
And very impressive,
28-13.
They ran it all over the Chargers.
But Chiefs had a bye week with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs at Arrowhead on Sunday Night Football. Chiefs healthy. Defense hitting its stride, and look, the offense still isn't there yet, but at least we saw that performance against the Raiders. That know that it's better than it was, and
and the Chiefs are excited, Stephen.
Right, and maybe I'll be wrong, but I keep waiting for everything to click because I feel like there's too much talent, both on the coaching staff and on the football field, for them to continue to be so inconsistent offensively for the entire season. And there is evidence recently of very similar. The Chiefs were 6-4 in 2019 after that loss to the Titans. And then the defense came together. The offense became unstoppable, and they won a Super Bowl. Not saying that it's going to get to that point, but it might.
There's logical reason to believe in a defense, too.
Right.
My first was just simple. They're not the 30th. They're going to swing back. That was the simplest thing ever. But Chris Jones, dedicated and a fixture at defensive tackle. Whoa. That's like drafting or trading for a great superstar because when he was a defensive end, he wasn't that guy.
You could be all these things.
Frank Clark is kind of starting to play with energy. I mean, and then you got Ingram, a guy who's excited about being a part of a Super Bowl run. The linebackers are playing well. You got Hitchens and some talent. Remember we talked about that running back situation? Like Pollard for the Cowboys is so good, but it starts with Ezekiel Elliott doing the dirty work, and then Pollard get to have some fun. Same thing with the Chiefs linebackers. You got the two young guys, man, Bolden and Gay. They can do exciting things, but they need to have Hitchens take care of the dirty work. Like get him in the right play. He might yell to, hey, this formation could be a screen. A little hint like that helps his fellow linebacker. And then Tyrann Mathieu's starting to play like the best defender on the Chiefs defense. There are reasons to believe, and Spags knows how to build throughout the year to make the team better. I'm okay buying in to the Chiefs defense, but I'm not going to advance them to a top 10 defense.
And the good thing is that we didn't ever think they needed to be that. They've needed to be that for a few games here because the offense hasn't played great. I also wonder if the offense hasn't been on a little bit of a governor in some of those games here recently because it was like, all right, we're in front. We're managing this game well. Let's not make any mistakes, and let's maintain our advantage. The psychology of sports to me is fascinating. Another thing I'd add to it, a lot of those guys you mentioned on defense that had not been performing as well as we thought they should at the beginning of the year were carrying injuries. You have to think that the bye week's going to be massive for them as well to get closer to being healthy.
And for people trying to make excuses for other teams, and this is why the Chiefs are winning, because Packers didn't have Aaron Rodgers. The Cowboys weren't at full strength. Well, then I get to go back and say, well, Chris Jones was out of position and had a bad wrist and missed a couple of games. Tre'Davious Ward missed a couple of games. Frank Clark wasn't healthy. Willie Gay didn't play the first, four games.
Yeah.
They didn't have their healthy linebacking core altogether. They were playing Daniel Sorensen too much. Now Juan Thornhill's playing. Those are all real things that happened that led, like, not one thing was the cause, but all those things put together explain why the defense is playing so poorly.
And the thing is, to go back when the Chiefs beat the Giants to start this four-game winning streak, and I called it joyless, you know, the next morning, because watching the guys, their body language on the field, they didn't look like they just won a game. They look like there's still something wrong with this team. And Jake rightly said, hey, it's a win in the NFL, so we got to be happy with that. The psychology of sports is fascinating to me because it's amazing what winning can do for you. It's also amazing what losing can do for you, by the way. As a person who traveled with four different 100-loss baseball teams and actually watched 100 losses in person,
bragger.
You know, like you watch it and you see what it does to everybody around you. I remember having conversations with a couple guys in the Royals front office. I'd sit there in the press box with them and watch the game. And just the effect that the losing has, all of a sudden, guys are fighting about things they normally wouldn't fight about. You know, everybody's just in a sour mood. Everything is affected by the losing. But the flip side is true with the winning, too. You've won four games in a row now. And all of a sudden, remember there was that bad, weird body language going on between Kelce and Mahomes. You're like, what's going on there? This just doesn't seem right. And you hear rumors about stuff off the field where they're arguing with each other about something or whatever. Whose wife gets this access and whose wife doesn't get that access and all that stuff. Then all of a sudden you win four games and nobody cares about that stuff. And we're best friends again. And we're, you know,
winning cures all ills.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. And so this team,
winning covers up stink.
Right. But it also, and this team's won four in a row. You know, they have such a different vibe to them going into that bye week and coming back together. It's like getting back together with your family when everything's going good. So I believe they're gonna come out and they're gonna play some of their best football on Sunday night.
We've got Stan Weber in the studio. We'll be back after this on WHB. And that was Patrick Surtain II saying that the defense has to put their track shoes on to keep up with the world class speed they'll face in the Chiefs defense. Hey, I want to give a shout out, Precision Mazes. You can go to precisionmazes.com to check them out. They are, Precision Mazes tweeted out, listening to SSJ, Nate Bucati, and Stan Weber. That is still playing, Drake. Talking Chiefs on Sports Radio 810 while creating another fun and timely crop art project in advance of Sunday Night Football on NBC. And so they just tweeted out that picture that they're out there working on another project that you'll see.
You guys are incredible. If you're listening to us, how do you do that?
I thought it was aliens, Stan, to be honest with you. I didn't know someone actually.
It's one thing to put it on a computer and say this is going to happen. Oh, that's just no way.
Isn't that awesome?
But when you're down there at ground level, how do you know where to move things, cut things?
It's the robots. Nate,
GPS.
I told you.
GPS.
These damn robots.
My stepdad Joe, these GPS things, it's extended my stepdad Joe's farming life by like 20 years. Because he used to drive, he had all kinds of neck and back problems because he'd have to drive the tractor looking over his shoulder like this to make sure the lines were straight. Now you like push a button and beep, it just
still
satellite
to,
keeps
to,
its purpose.
To execute that and make it look that good is incredible.
It's amazing. I mean, it's really cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Damn, that was good.
Wow. I didn't even mean to do that. Just came
for you
natural.
To stripe your backyard of football fields, impressive to me. But this is like 1,000 times better.
Oh, Nate also no uses doubt. GPS. For
I will tell you, Stan, though, that this year I did make my field to scale. I measured it, so now like it's a 50-foot long field. And that's the great thing about a football field is you can just measure by tens. You don't have to be good at math at it. So every 5 yards, every 5 feet, there's a stripe. So you can come over and play sometime. You know, it's there. It's because I have nothing better to do with my time, apparently.
I want to see the picture for this year's game.
So so we talked about what has to happen for Denver to win this game. Now tell me what you think is going to happen on Sunday night.
I think the Broncos are going to give it a good shot. I think they're going to play with purpose and therefore make it a little harder on the Chiefs. But at the end of the day, I think the Chiefs separate, win the ball game, by 7 to 10 points. But I think that they'll make the Chiefs work at it because I think Denver's ready to give it a good shot.
So the Chiefs, coming out of this bye week, have all three AFC West contenders in a row, back to back to back. You'll see the Broncos, and then they get to host the Raiders, and then they will finish off that stretch at the Chargers on Thursday Night Football. All three are within a game of the Chiefs. How do you rank them as far as the contenders to the Chiefs? How do you rank them as far as who's the power rankings, whatever? Chiefs are the best, right? Who's the second best team in the AFC West?
It's not Denver. Denver's fourth.
Agreed.
The question is, the Chargers are, when Herbert's on and playing at his highest level and Bosa's rushing the quarterback, the Chargers can take it to a level the Raiders can't. So I'm going to say Chargers again, this goes back to my danger factor. That Thursday night game is scary. I could see the Chargers beating the Chiefs because if the Chargers play their best, they can compete with the Chiefs. But I don't think that they can handle the stress of being the favorite. They got a brand new head coach. Herbert's whole style doesn't lend itself well to be a superstar quarterback game after game because he's pretty laid back. He just kind of plays, and that's what I saw at Oregon. I didn't believe in him at Oregon, and I miscalculated how good he'd be as a pro. But maybe I didn't. Come back to me in 5 years, because when Peyton Manning had a chance to grab the league, what did he do? Boom. Patrick Mahomes, when he had a chance to grab the league, what did he do? Boom. When Justin Herbert's given the chance, I just wonder. I think he's a little bit like Allen, for the Buffalo Bills. Those two guys, when they play their best, man, they are awesome and new breed and big and strong and not nervous. But I use not nervous as a compliment for a second, and then I'm going to use it as a cut down. You're better when you have that edge, when you have the little nervousness, when you have expectation of excellence, that you crave it and you're scared of losing. You hate losing. I don't think Herbert is scared of losing. I think he sleeps just fine after getting whipped by the Denver Broncos. And he'll come this Sunday and play again. That's just my interpretation of how he played at Oregon and what I'm seeing with the Chargers.
That was the knock on him.
He's just going to come play ball.
That was the knock on him coming out of college. He didn't show enough fire. He didn't show enough of those kind of leadership characteristics.
I'll use Peyton Manning because he's out of the game a little bit. But if Peyton Manning lost last week to a division rival, his team probably could have won, needed to win, what do you think his determination would be this week? How scared would he be of losing two in a row and being a non-factor this year? You see what I'm saying?
How scared will his teammates be as well all week? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
Don't you think Herbert is just practicing this today?
He seems very stoic.
He's going to do his thing. And so I think that I'm going to say Chargers. I just think the Chargers have so many components that they can put together and play at a high level. And the Raiders still have some inconsistency with them as well. If the Raiders are a little more consistent, I would move them up and say count on them because we've basically got 6 games left in a year for most of these teams. And if the Raiders were more consistent, then they could go out and put a 4-2 up there and say come chase us and then watch the Chargers go on a roller coaster ride and play great 1 week and not the next. But I think the Raiders are inconsistent. I think we've got recency bias. We saw the Dallas Cowboys blow it to the Raiders and make the Raiders seem better than they are. So I'm going to go Chargers.
And the great thing about this is that the Chiefs, 1, 2, 3, will pick every one of those teams off, and they'll be able to give themselves at least – so if they do that, they'll have at least a 2-game lead over everybody. because the Chiefs, if the Chiefs win these next three games, then their record will be 10-4. They'll put a loss on everyone in the division, and there's probably going to be another loss in there for the other teams somewhere else too. And so they could essentially end the division race in these next three games. Give everyone a loss head-to-head, put it away, and then you focus on, again, the Steelers at the Bengals, which that's going to be an interesting game, and then you go at the Broncos. As you can take care of business right here, coming out of the bye week, everything sets up very well for the Chiefs to take care of business.
I expect a little more drama. I think the Chiefs will go 2-1 in these three games. Just because I would look at that Charger game. I think the Chargers will fire back up for the Chiefs and play one really good game. And if that happens, they could beat the Chiefs. Boy, it gets exciting, not from our perspective, but from a national perspective. If the Chiefs go 2-1, but the loss is against the Chargers and they have the tiebreaker, that brings the race back into a lot more view, right? I mean, it's not a guarantee that the Chiefs are going to run away from this thing.
So this is a big game then to talk about on Sunday. Do you think the Chargers win at the Bengals?
You know, which version of the Chargers show up? I'm going to say I believe in the Bengals. And I said something earlier this week on a podcast that is out there, okay? And I said it because it's what my reaction is, and this is sometimes what I do. And then I go, uh-oh, did I really say that? I said Joe Burrow might be the best quarterback in that division. That's how much I believe in Joe Burrow. I think he's a real deal. I thought it last year. I thought at LSU. I thought Ed Ogeron was one of the worst head coaches in the country. My relatives were texting me when they were making the run to the national championship. It's like, do you still think Ed Ogeron's not very good as a head coach? I go, yes, he's awful. But Joe Burrow is so good. And then with the Bengals last year, they're under a young coach who's just learning how to be an NFL head coach, and Joe Burrow carried him well. I believe in Joe Burrow, so I believe in the Bengals.
The only debate is Lamar Jackson. Ben Roethlisberger sucks.
Right, but that's a big
Baker
debate.
Mayfield
Lamar Jackson.
They need to be wheeled out there on a stretcher.
But most people would say I just said the craziest thing ever to ever compare Joe Burrow to Lamar Jackson.
See, for me, it's not because I'm not, you know, it's...
He's dangerous, but,
right.
You know, can he throw from the pocket when the weather's cold, it's a playoff game, and his team's down? Can Lamar Jackson do that? I don't believe in him situation.
You want to see, Nate said he was the one guy that thought Cincinnati would be competitive. Now, you also thought the Steelers were going to win the division, and that looks as good as the Cincinnati pick looks. The Steelers, we were right about that.
Yeah.
Because it's the corpse of Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, quarterback. And they have no chance.
I just don't know which
division.
Version of the Chargers are going to show up. I'm telling you, they're going to play in their last five or six games. They're going to play a couple games that are just awesome.
And now when the Bengals are a team looked upon as a playoff team.
Exactly.
Right?
That's why I didn't believe in the Chargers. When they beat the Chiefs, now you're anointing yourself. It's completely different when everyone's firing at you.
Because they arrived a little bit earlier this season, and then what happened? They hit a couple of road bumps. Now they've arrived again. How do you handle success?
They're inexperienced in this position.
I'm so glad to hear you say that about Joe Burrow, Stan, because I'm a Joe Burrow fan too. And I've been bringing up this week the who would you take, Herbert or Burrow? And most people have been saying Herbert, which has kind of caused me to second-guess myself a little bit. And usually I am not a fan of the quarterback that comes from the big powerhouse college, because I feel like he's usually throwing to wide-open receivers, and you can't really – those receivers are never going to be that open in the NFL. I want to know, like, can you hit
those
tight windows?
So you don't
believe
in Mac Jones either?
Not really. No.
Okay.
No. And I also didn't believe that much in Trevor Lawrence. You know, and
Herbert, Oregon.
But
it's all of them.
Yeah. And
Tua.
I did not believe in Tua at all. And maybe I'll be wrong on some of those guys. Mac Jones is playing really well. But I believed in Burrow because a couple things. I agree with you. First of all, I think Orgeron was a good recruiter and a terrible coach. There was talent all over the place. Burrow was throwing to NFL stars. Like we know now, one of the guys he's throwing to now was a star. So he was throwing to great players. But I loved the adversity that he faced in his college career. And, you know, the improvement that – because he wasn't really great the year before, you know, and the improvement that he made, the adversity that he faced. And then when you watched him, that dude would get blown up and take amazing hits and stand in the pocket and take those hits to deliver the ball and things. He just showed me so many things that I feel like kind of goes back to what you were saying about the mentality of an Allen or a Herbert. There's quarterbacks all over the league that have unbelievable physical ability. They can run. They can throw. They're big. They're strong. All those things. And they can be really good quarterbacks. So, like, what's the separator between those guys and, say, a Patrick Mahomes or a guy that can get you to the Super Bowl, Tom Brady? You know,
let's just talk about that for a second. Patrick Mahomes grew up around Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
He understands that you're just a human being. Don't get caught up in all the hype of being the quarterback of an NFL team. Yeah. Stay focused. Go win games. Has unbelievable talent, and he knows what it takes to win. Joe Burrow's dad was a big-time college coach at Ohio with Frank Solich. He was his number one assistant. He's grown up around this his whole life.
Yeah.
He knows football. He knows the ups and downs about winning and losing. He knows when to be mad. He knows when to be calm. These are the kind of things that are so valuable for these quarterbacks. They are like mini coaches.
Yeah.
They got to keep their head. And Herbert and Allen, I believe, keep their head by saying, I'm not going to get too stressed out. And that's fine for mental health and to perform their best, but it's not as reliable. It's not as reliable as Tom Brady getting pissed off. When Tom Brady loses a game, you know something's different next week.
Well, Gronk even said it's not fun. Like, it's not as fun playing because there's so much stress of, like, you know, even when we win, sometimes Brady's mad.
And if you look at it also, like the last two games have been so impressive, Burrow hasn't done anything. It's been mixing.
Yeah.
The guys around last two games.
And he's really good.
Thrown for .148 and .190. Two touchdown passes and one interception over the last two games. Hell, over the last three games, two touchdowns, three interceptions. But yeah. Mixon has become one of the best running backs in football.
And the coach is learning how to coach.
And their defense is playing well.
Yeah. I mean, Burrow, the thing, the injuries and the inability to move, I'm not going to advance him up and say he's going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. It's probably more of a question about Lamar Jackson. Do I really believe in him? And mm-hmm. the other two quarterbacks. You can't say Baker Mayfield. You can't advance him up too quickly. Does great commercials. You know, Roethlisberger won a couple Super Bowls, but he's yesterday's news. I overstated my Burrow statement. I give you that.
Oh, no, hey, I'd listen
but
to it.
But in the brain. You know, you don't have to have perfect athletic ability because Tom Brady doesn't.
Right. Well, and the quarterback and that's willing Peyton to throw Manning. For 190 yards and still win because he's about winning
the game. Because
he wasn't
winning.
And it is a good debate about Herbert and Burrow. Herbert has advantages in all the statistics except for completion percentage. Now, Herbert has like 250 yards rushing. Burrow really isn't. And that does make a difference, right?
Sure does.
Yeah. But they're, and it'll be, let's see him play. Because they both now, because last year, Herbert had a lot more talent around him. Now it's more even, and we're really going to see, I think, on even playing fields, both guys healthy, both guys with a bunch of weapons, both guys right now in the playoffs with everything riding on it. We're going to find out. That'll go a long way in evaluation of which of these quarterbacks. And then who knows? Maybe they're both going to be really good.
Yeah.
And it's 6-1 and a half dozen of the other.
Game because can't there's, wait. There's no, if this were the Patriots against a team, the old veteran mentality of knowing how to be a championship-level team would skew this game. That's not on either team's plates. They are clean. They're not intimidated at all by the opponent. It's who's the best team. I mean, again, if the Chiefs are getting ready to do it, I'd say Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, it'd be an unfair fight. But these two teams don't have that. Both coaches are very young. Both quarterbacks are very young. Both teams are playing well and can play even at a higher level, but they can throw a dud out there in a snap of the fingers. This is going to be a really fun game to watch.
Go Cincy. Obviously, go Cincy. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Mr. Gary Lezak. Gary, good morning. How are you? The weather's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. What's the congratulations for?
For the weather, but also I'm angry at you because you predicted too much snow last night in your winter forecast. So,
what was my number? Do you remember?
It was a 20. Was it 24?
23.4.
Well, there you go.
I almost 23.4. I know. You know, last year we predicted 15.5, and exactly 15.5 inches fell. So we'll go for 2 years in a row of getting it exactly right, which is almost impossible.
You had one. You had one prediction there of the four that was 10 inches.
That's right. West Perry predicted 10 inches of snow.
I'm rooting for West Perry, by the way.
For the low amount.
Yes. Yeah, just in life. I want him to do well.
Great. Fantastic.
Why don't you say hi to Stan Weber, will you?
Hey, Stan, how you doing? Are the Chiefs going to win this weekend?
Yes, they will win.
Oh, good.
And is it true that Lincoln Riley moved to California because he heard how great it was from you?
Wow.
It is great.
Wow.
In California. Yeah, yeah.
I figure you have some inside with that Oklahoma coach, and you know about the Dodgers in L.A., so maybe you helped him talk about some good places to buy.
Yeah, the Dodgers, the Rams, the Kings, and the Trojans, and the Bruins. So he'll have to go up against the Bruins and be dominant out there. We'll see.
Thanks for bringing this L.A.-like weather to us the last day or so.
Have you decided who you want to be the next Oklahoma coach yet, or do you
still don't know?
You don't care?
I still have no idea. I don't know. Right. I just don't want a Stoops or, or anybody associated with the Sooners.
Lebo said he wanted Venables, and you said Lebo doesn't know what he's talking about, and you don't want Venables. That's
no.
Exactly what you said.
No. I don't want Venables. Right. I don't.
Fine.
All right. So we'll see what happens there. So what do you think, Stan, about Bolton and Willie Gay Jr., these two young Chiefs that are really excelling, aren't they? What do you think of those
guys? Love that Anthony Hitchens is helping bring him along at Spags, and the potential is high, and they're starting to play with discipline. So I'm excited. Energy, fast. Bolton just hits people so hard. It's old school, man. And you brought a smile to Stephen St. John's face that was so big.
Bolton's a hammer looking for a nail.
And how do we deal with Stephen? He just turned 49. Yeah, he's mature now.
Yeah, look at me. Not yet. I'm getting there. Just in a few years, I'll be there.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I issued a winter forecast last night. It's interesting. Just after I issued it, the new data is starting to roll in a week from now. The Chiefs play the Raiders here next week, right?
Yes. A week from Sunday. Correct? That's going to be a noon game at Arrowhead Stadium.
So we're going from Donkey Week to Raider Week, just like that?
Then to Charger Week, and that'll be a Thursday night game out in L.A.
Wow. Well, the weather in L.A. will be nicer than the weather will be here next weekend. A winter storm is showing up.
Stop it.
And some of the models have significant snow in our area. And so something to monitor closely. It could be our first inch of snow. And you know what happens when that happens? I mean, someone will win our snowflake contest. So we'll be monitoring that closely. One of the models has us barely in the snow. So we'll watch that very closely. I've got some donkey dad jokes today. You ready?
Drake says he will allow it.
Yeah.
Nate, are you ready?
I'm writing it down, man. Donkey right. Dad jokes, that's the best.
Right. It's Red Friday, so in honor of the Chiefs-Broncos game, we have some donkey joints.
What? What?
What did you just say?
Donkey joints.
Okay. You know, that's where Jake's on vacation. He went went to a donkey joint down in Tijuana one time. But I don't.
That's a different kind of thing.
It's not the same thing. I don't.
Have you been drinking this morning, Gary?
Wow.
I don't know. I guess I have. I don't know. It's been a long, like 24 hours.
Not me to judge.
Okay. What does a donkey do when you tell him a joke?
Donkey do. it says hee haw.
Yeah, hee haws. Hee haws.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. No, wait, do that again.
Hee haws.
That's good.
Hee haws.
You're like
hee-haws.
A voice actor.
All right. What do you call a baby donkey?
John Elway.
That's an old donkey now.
That's an old donkey joke. In Spanish, a donkey is called a burro. So a baby donkey would be a burrito. No?
I actually think he has been drinking.
Yeah.
Today.
Some tequila.
Right. There, I mean, there's a chance.
What do you call a donkey in the attic?
I don't. I'm afraid to say.
Lost.
Oh. I think your phone cut out there.
Yeah.
Lost.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's
do you call this weather segment?
Yeah.
Lost.
Why didn't the donkey move to the farm on the moon?
I don't know.
There was no atmosphere.
That's a recycled moon joke, and I'll allow it.
Okay.
How about this one? Why did Gary refuse to give the weather?
I don't know.
Because it's donkey week.
Because he was a stubborn donkey.
Stan is so desperate to leave the studio right now.
I don't blame him.
He keeps thinking the segment's over.
Stan, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Hey, you bring this kind of good weather and quit talking about snow for a couple days. Whatever you want to talk about is fine with me.
Okay, here we go. Here's the forecast. We have 10 seconds. 65 today, Sunday for tailgating, 65 degrees. It might get up to 69 degrees.
Those are great words.
All right. But then by kickoff, a cold front blows through. There's a chance of rain or snow showers during the game. All right.
What?
So there you go. There's the forecast. I'll update you on KSHB 41. Here is Bob Hamilton.
Thanks, Gary. Sometimes the best defense is a great offense. Replace your furnace right now for just $55 a month. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B, or bobhamilton.com.
I have a long speech to give right now, Jake, but we'll wait till later on Sports Radio 810 WHB.